Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain, eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of the offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read that in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and yet remain innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Feasts like these, I have to restrain myself because I could do a real deep dive historically and bore you all to tears. Here's what's important in history. The Dominicans and the Franciscans are, in important ways, the first religious orders in the way that we would recognize them today. The Benedictines are obviously a much older movement, but no Benedictine monk in the 9th century thought that he was part of an order that spanned the whole world and that he could like be transferred to another country or something like that. That just didn't happen. But the Franciscans and Dominicans, they were a different thing in the life of the church. They were international. They crossed borders. They were bound not to locations but to persons, so that they professed obedience to the person of the master of the order. And that person, in a way much like the Pope's relationship to his brother bishops, binds in relationship everybody else who's part of the community. Organizations like this depend heavily on the personalities of their people, because it's the relationship between persons that holds the whole thing together. And so in the life of the Franciscans and the Dominicans, you have two characters, one from each, who are associated as sort of second founders of the order, those who in the next generation carry on the name and the legacy of their founder. For the Dominicans, that is, of course, St. Thomas Aquinas. And for the Franciscans, today, St. Bonaventure. Now, in important ways, history being different, it might have made better sense for Thomas of Aquino to be a Franciscan and for Bonaventure to be the Dominican. Why do I say that? Well, because Bonaventure made his name as a preacher, but he wasn't a member of the order of preachers. He was a member of the order of the poor guys. And Thomas, you know, got thrown out of his family for wanting to be poor, and also was not exactly famous for his skill in the pulpit. So sometimes, right, the places where we find ourselves best and most competent to lead are not the ones that are most intuitive or obvious to ourselves or those around us. My favorite image of Aquinas and Bonaventure, I know that I lean on this too much, but it simply strikes me so much that I talk about it a lot because I don't do this very well. In The Paradise, that's the last volume of Dante's Divine Comedy, the part nobody ever gets to because hell's sexier. It is, but that's the problem. In The Paradise, the way Dante has this imagined is the saints sing the praises of one another. And very specifically, they sing the praises of those with whom they have the hardest time on earth. Bonaventure and Thomas did not mostly get along. They were from totally distinct philosophical schools. Bonaventure at one point, associated himself with a bishop that tried to get Aquinas banned from the classroom. They both got called upon to defend their new orders, and the defense that they offered for themselves like contradicted each other, which made them both kind of look dumb. They were not fans of one another in life. But the way Dante imagines them in heaven, Bonaventure spends his eternity singing the praises of the angelic doctor, and Thomas spends his eternity singing the praises of his Franciscan brother. The Lord does something funny with language in tonight's gospel, right? So the guys are picking grain, which is theoretically harvest, though this is a real, like, nitpicky, snitty version of this, right? It's like picking an apple off of an apple tree and deciding that you're now apple hunting or something. But the examples that he uses are important. He first says, remember David when they blitzed the temple? Now that was a real bad situation. That was pretty extreme and probably does not apply to the situation that the disciples are in right now. But this next one does. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and they're innocent? Now the language of innocence here is important. It's not that they break the commandment and are guilty, but it's okay because they're priests, or it's okay because of what they're doing. They incur no guilt. They commit no sin. Innocence. Innocence. If you knew what this meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, then you would have not condemned these innocent men. I don't know about you. I don't think I can even remember the time in which I could rightly be called innocent of much of anything. But I like to imagine that if I can learn mercy, not sacrifice, I might be able to sing the praises of my enemy, at least for a little bit.